all toxic thoughts can be organized into these three categories: thoughts about God, thoughts about self, thoughts about others. He says the serpent attacks us with negative thoughts about God to separate us from our loving Father. He attacks us with negative thoughts about ourselves to keep us insecure and at odds with our own self. And he attacks us with negative thoughts about others to keep us isolated, alone, and disconnected. Welcome to Rooted, y'all. I've missed you so much. It's like oozing out of me to the surface. I miss y'all so much, and I'm so sorry that it has definitely been more than a minute that we've connected. That is completely on me. I take full accountability for my actions. I do want to say, though, I am recording this, yes, through this microphone for the podcast, but I am making a YouTube episode as well. That's part of what took me so long, is I knew I wanted this episode to also have a YouTube episode. Y'all know a couple months ago, I was trying to make that a consistent thing. Some things occurred, but here we are. I am making it a YouTube video, and I knew I wanted to do that, and that takes a little bit more time. You know, I got to get some lights, I got to move furniture around a bit, versus just pulling out a mic, hitting record, and then editing. And because of that, it just was finding the time to do that, because life has been lifing, honey. Like, it's been going. And I know the last episode, we were talking about, what if this is the best 4 months of your life? Right? What if 2023 isn't what you thought it would look like so far? And how me personally, it did not look like none of the things were on my bingo card, okay? However, I had just like called it a wrap. I'm like, well, I thought this was about to be my MJ year. It's not. 2024, let's try again. And God was like, hold. New mercies every single day. Like, what are you talking about? We don't have the same game plan. And I want his game plan over my game plan any day. And so it was really about shifting the mindset of like, yo, this could literally be the best 4 months of my life. Let me tell you, I feel like once I opened that door, God was like, say less. I got it. You know what? You just sit there. You just look cute. Okay. I got it from here. And it's been a whirlwind, and that's part of why I have not recorded an episode, because I've been out and about, because God said places to go, people to see, and he spoke that over my life at the beginning of the year. And I want to dive, you know what, I'm going to ask you how you're doing in a minute, okay? Because I want to go there, but I need to speak into this, because somebody needs to remember what God promised them. They need to remember what God told them, the dream God gave them, because it's so easy when life's and things look derailed. They look like what we didn't think it would look like. They look like what we didn't expect it. They look painful. They look foggy and confusing. We forget about the promise. We forget that his word is true, that his promises are true. And at the very beginning of this year, God had told me to get a car, because I've been a passenger princess the last 2.5 years. I sold my car in 2021 because she's a city girl, okay? Saved in the city. She's in the city. Everything is by me. There's no reason for me to drive. The one place I Ubered once a week was to church, because that was the only thing that wasn't like right by me. Other than that, I'm in the city, everything is walkable, and everyone's cars was getting broken into around here. I'm like, I don't need this. Sold my car 2021, plus we were in a panorama, so I didn't need it. And I was, you know, everything was fully remote. So now, the start of 2023, God said places to go, people to see. This is going to be a year I have you on the move. He told me that at the beginning. I was traveling a lot at the beginning of the year, so I didn't really like start my year in Portland until like March, mid-March. And so within 2 weeks, I got a car like he told me to. And then I wasn't on the go right away because at first, even the first couple months, I think I'd put like 100 miles on it. Like I didn't need it. I still walk to my gym every day. I like walking. And then this new change hit where I was like, this is about to be the best 4 months of my life. God said, remember when I said places to go, people to see? Let me tell you, she's been places to go, people to see these last couple weeks. I have been on the East Coast a lot, and there was a new opportunity with this company that I've been blessed with. And so I can't even explain how different it looks than just a couple weeks ago. And it really was me getting into alignment with, all right, we're about to make this the best 4 months. Like, we're about to go to work. What has happened has happened. Let's do this. And God said, oh, baby girl, I was just waiting on you. And once I gave the green light, my bags have been packed and I have been booked and busy. And I feel very, very grateful. I just got back from New York this, like, 48 hours ago. I'm about to head back to New York, I think about a week, maybe less than. It's just been a whirlwind, but a whirlwind I'm very grateful for, a whirlwind I prayed for. You know, when we are in these seasons when we feel stuck, when life feels stagnant, those are challenging seasons. And I have felt those pains, because it's like a pain, more than enough times in my life. And they will come again, because there's a season for everything. But when God opened this door for me, I knew that he had me in hiding for several years, for the last 3.5 years to be specific. It was his form of hiding me. And obviously I've been on socials, I've been on here. It's not like I've just been in some cocoon where no one sees me or hears from me. There's different forms of hiding. And sometimes that does feel like stagnation. And for full 3.5 years, I didn't feel stagnant. But there was a different process taking place internally. And there was a real spiritual process happening in order to prepare me for this season now. And we can't see what's ahead, but God does. And because he's so good, he will prepare us and make sure we're prepared for the next season. So maybe it doesn't look exactly like what you want right now. Maybe it's not following the timeline you created. Let me tell you, we are not here doing things according to our own timelines. We are on his timeline. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's behind. He knows what's here. He knows what we need. He knows what's best. It's handing over that control. It's handing over that trust. And it is so hard, especially when we don't understand. Right? When it doesn't look like what we prayed for, but God, I've been praying for this. I'm begging for this. I've been asking for this. I had a real moment where I was just like overwhelmed with gratitude and this newness he's breathed in these last couple of weeks. And I had this real moment where I was reflecting on a lot of things. And one of the biggest things I kept telling him was, God, thank you for not giving me the things I thought I wanted. God, thank you for never letting me settle. Because we thank him a lot for what he has given us, as we should. But man, when we think about the things we thought we wanted, the people we thought we wanted, the places we thought we wanted, the jobs we thought we wanted, and how that could have changed everything. God, thank you for not giving me the things I thought I wanted. Thank you for protecting me from myself. Thank you, God. Like, it just was this real moment of gratitude. But now I'm about to check in before I even move on. How you doing? One, I missed you just on here, but I've said this before. The miss is more because I'm also not on socials. Part of me wanted to also record a video, let y'all know I am alive, like I'm okay. I know I've been off social since July. I knew when I got off, it probably was gonna be for more than a month. And that's why I didn't put anything, like when I did say, like when I made my last post, I just was like, I'm backing away, because I had a feeling it was going to be a minute. We were taking a break. And I don't see myself coming back on in 2023. This will probably be a 2023 thing that I carry out, and we'll see. We'll see what God wants to do, but he's not putting anything on my heart yet. I love being off socials. However, the part of me that does not like it anymore is the fact that that's one less voice, right? There's one less voice of glorifying God, proclaiming the good news. Have you heard it? I know a friend, you know? And it brings me so much joy. It really does. I told y'all the story in the last episode. The woman who found my TikToks and found my podcasts, and she was listening to them. You know, she was a dancer. She was getting ready to go do her thing, but she'd be backstage listening to my podcast. And let me tell you, I just want to put a praise there. She shared with me that she's getting baptized next month. Praise the Lord. I just am like, God, you're so cool. You're so cool. So she's going to baptize next month, because God is God and he's amazing and he could do anything. And if you give him your yes, man, what he will start to do, and just the things that have transpired in her life, it's only God. Like, oh, I wish I had a lot more time, but I'm going to stay focused. But that is a huge praise report that I need to share here. But the thing I really want to tackle here that God is putting heavy on my heart, I have Brainwashed here. It's a book that I've shared before. It's by Manny Arango. He actually came and spoke again at my church over the summer. He's great. I was going to say live, like he's a concert or something, but he's great in person. But his book has just, whoo, it's so good. And so he talks about a lot of different things on here. The big theme of it is overcoming toxic thoughts and take back control of your mind. And let me tell you, I needed that these last couple of months. But something he hits on that I thought is so important and a good starting point for us today that I really want to dive into, because there are things that have come up when I'm praying for people or praying about people. It's a theme that has come up. And it's separation and isolation of people feeling that, you know, we live in such an individualistic society, right? Everyone wants to be an individual. And listen, there's nothing wrong with being an individual, but we have convinced ourselves that we don't need anybody else because I'm an individual, I'm independent. Okay. And don't get me wrong. I was out here, you know, what is it? Independent. What was that Destiny's Child song? All the ladies, but I don't know. You know what song I'm talking about, though. Throw your hands up at me. Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. And so, listen, we all had our, you know, I could do battle by myself. But tell me how that's going.
Okay.
Tell me how it's going. Because it's, like, party one is not that fun. Like, yes. You could be like, but Jesus is my, you know, my road dog. He's my best friend. And listen, Jesus is my best friend, but Jesus created me for community. Let me segue into this for a second. When I began this job recently, life like crazy. Like I was doing these 12-hour days. There were these fashion shows, and tomorrow I got a movie premiere that I'm going to be at. Like there's all these things that's going on. And the first week was such a whirlwind that I did. And I was so exhausted. I didn't talk to anybody but my mother. And thank God I have my mother, man. I love that woman so much. Her and Jesus, they're my best friend. And I felt so separated just from 1 week of not being plugged into my community, of maybe a group I normally go to or a class I normally would attend. I felt by the end of the following week, that Monday after, I had a small group that I was so looking forward to. And I showed up. I'm like, y'all, I have missed you so much. Because also I wasn't like even texting or calling anybody because I was so overwhelmed and trying to just get my footing of everything new that was happening. And I'm like, how do people do this on a regular basis where they don't have community, where they're not plugged in, where they are not having, you know, regular communication with other people? Like, how do they do this? Because I felt so depleted of, there was just a void that I could feel because it's something I'm so used to having. And maybe it's the extrovert in me. I used to be an introvert that performed as an extrovert. And that has absolutely changed throughout the years. I get my energy from people. So maybe some of y'all are listening like, girl, that is my dream. I don't want to be around people. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want people calling me. I don't want to be calling people. Okay, I'm trying to be respectful of my introverts out there. I know there's a lot of them. Maybe you don't need to be calling someone every day. That still does not mean that you're not called to be in community. Because just because you may feel like I don't need y'all, maybe somebody needs you. Your story, your testimony, your words of encouragement, your prayers. Because it's not just you being robbed of maybe that experience, but you robbing somebody else of exactly what God has poured in you to pour out to them. I'm going to leave that there. But there are people, maybe not my introverts, okay? There are people who struggle daily with the feelings of isolation, feelings of loneliness, feelings of separation from people, from God. And I want to break it the way that Manny breaks it down here. He said, all toxic thoughts can be organized into these three categories: thoughts about God, thoughts about self, thoughts about others. He says, the serpent attacks us with negative thoughts about God to separate us from our loving Father. He attacks us with negative thoughts about ourselves to keep us insecure and at odds with our own self. And he attacks us with negative thoughts about others to keep us isolated, alone, and disconnected. But we can overcome our negative thoughts so we can form lasting bonds that will produce peace, joy, and human flourishing. The human connection has the power to cure the mindset that sabotages our future. Intimacy with others can break the mental strongholds of pessimism, negativity, and defeat. And I mean, he goes on and on. It's so good. I wish I could read the whole chapter. But I want to focus on those three topics. He says the thoughts about God, thoughts about self, and thoughts about others, that those are the three categories of toxic thoughts. And they're all connected, all of them. And so and we don't think like, oh, I don't have any toxic thoughts about God. You sure? Like, we subconsciously, there are a lot of toxic thoughts about God I've had to overcome, right? There's a lot of things that kept me separated from him subconsciously because I didn't even realize it yet. Issues with my own earthly father kept me separated from my heavenly father because of things that I believed, things that I had experienced. Those things cause separation. What about people? The negative thoughts and experiences, a lot of times it's experiences that we've had that is still within us, hurting us, controlling us in some way, creating these toxic thought patterns about people. And so now it's like, I can't trust them. I can't let anybody close. I don't even need anybody. You know what? I like myself better by myself. You know, all these things that we tell ourselves. And let me tell you, I was praying for a girl recently, and it was me and a couple of women praying for her. Y'all, I got a story to tell you. Okay, let me put a pin. I'll tell you that story in a minute. But we're praying for her, and she was like, I've just been really needing women. All of us were like, take our number. We'll start a group chat right now. I'm going to check in on you. Where you at on Sunday? And she's like, that's what I want. And it's like, we all crave that. And I want to say this. She goes, I just didn't want to be needy. We were designed to be needy, and we were designed to be needed. Let me just rebuke that lie and send it back to the pit of hell. If you are somebody listening right now who has felt the same thing, let me tell you, I started recording a whole other episode. I was 20 minutes into the other episode, and God was like, nah, separation and isolation. I need you to speak to that because there's somebody who needs this right now. And so for you, whoever you are that needs this, please, please hear me when I say we were designed by our Creator, who so perfectly and fearfully, wonderfully made us. We were made with that void on purpose. Let me tell you, our God does not make mistakes. That void was created on purpose. It cannot be filled by you doing bad all by yourself. I feel like there are two voids, and this is just my personal opinion. There's a void that only God can fill, and there's a void that only community, the church, that whole branch, connection, that's the only other thing that fills that other void. In my opinion, clearly this isn't in the Bible anywhere. These are just things that I've watched and experienced and learned myself. And so, of course, that first void is you creating that relationship with God, you creating that foundation with Him. But the church is His bride. That is His bride. Let me tell you, we had such a good sermon today. And it's coming up right now. We had a guest pastor. He is one of my favorites. He is a teacher before he is a preacher. And let me tell you, when he is up there, honey, he is teaching. And he was talking about if the church is God's bride, and some of y'all hate the church, and you're like, I love Jesus, but I don't be messing with the church. Tell me you gonna let someone talk about your wife or your husband that way. You cool. I don't know about your mans, though. I say, excuse me, it's just not going to go down like that. And so when we're like, we love God, I have a connection with Him, I have a relationship with Him. Church, the people. That is His bride. Do you know how disrespectful that is? And I'm not trying to condemn anybody right now. I'm trying to bring your attention to something, because this isn't just about you needing the church, but the church needing you, your gifts, your story, your experience. And if you got church hurt, bring it back in. Let me tell you, a couple months ago when I was about to leave my church, and I talked about this openly, I was just about to go to another church because I know me, myself, and I need to be in a church. I was just going to leave and go to another one for a little while because of some things that were going on. And I remember prophetically when someone was praying for me and she was like, where you got hurt is where you're going to get your healing. Do not leave. That's not the answer here. And that's a very layered thing. And I have gone back and forth even since then, right? I would love to say, and then I never thought about it again. For a minute, I never thought about it again. But then, you know, because that hurt was still there, there were different options I was trying to entertain as far as like, well, I could just leave. You know, we come up with all these options, but there are certain things, because I did, I was, God, let me let this go, take this away. I was on my knees begging. I was praying and fasting. I was doing all the things I could think of that I know I need to do, that I'm called to do. And it felt like nothing was working. It felt like I was just running in circles, chasing my own tail, begging Him for the same thing over and over and over again, but nothing was actually happening. And here's the thing. I was in a class and He said, sometimes God will not take it away because He needs you to overcome it. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes God will not take it away because He needs you to overcome it. It goes back to that preparation. Because He knows what's ahead, this is part of the preparation. You being able to overcome this is a part of the preparation. And I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but I know for me, as much as it hurt, as much as I begged, as much as I pleaded, it was something that He needed me to be able to overcome because it was in preparation for what's next. And because I don't know what's next, I always come with the questions, right? Why though? This isn't fair. I don't understand it. It's just trusting Him. That's where trust comes in. And I will say this, never did I stop trusting my King. Never did I say, forget it. I'm about to do my own thing, my own way. I had some thoughts, if I was honest, but I didn't act on it, right? I had a lot of thoughts, actually. But I didn't act on it because at the end of the day, I've acted on them enough in the past. like, Lord, okay, I was just kidding. I already know where that leads. I already know what happens. I already know where I end up. No, thank you. Okay, we're bringing it back to church now. We're bringing it back to the Lord's bride. And I know I've mentioned on multiple episodes that my heart feels deeply for those that have been very hurt in the church. And I'm an empath first and foremost. And so when people even tell me like, oh, I don't do the God thing, I don't like God, this and that, my first thought isn't like to grab my Bible and shove it down their throat. My first thought is like, why? Something happened here, like something hurt somebody. And that should always be our first concern, right? Not condemnation, but curiosity. What hurt you? What's still hurting right now? And I'm so sorry. And there are people that have messaged me and shared their stories about awful, awful abuse that has occurred in their churches, specifically with women and what they've endured. And even in some of these foreign, very, very strict churches that she was telling me about, there's even been death, right? Because women are forced to stay and endure the abuse. So divorce isn't an option. And it's just these heartbreaking stories of what people have gone through, of people who identify a certain way, people who are in certain relationships, and the church has used God as a weapon of telling them God hates them, of telling them that they're not wanted or belong anywhere. And I just, oh man, that makes me want to cry right now. Whoever you are listening or watching, I'm so sorry for anything that anyone has ever said or done to you. That was not God, though. I need you to know that that was not God. He loves you. You are his precious child. He made you. He formed you. He values you. And maybe there's some things that need to change in life. Maybe there's some things you need to clean up. We all have things we need to change. We all have sin that we need to turn away from. We all need to repent about certain things. We all have our things that we carry with us. That's why we go to the church, so we can lay it down at the cross, because we all have a cross that we carry. You're not alone. You're not special, right? Your sin is not the worst. Your sin is not worse than everybody else's. We go to the church because we all are full of it, all of us. And I get how so many people think that this is just this super hypocritical, everyone's phony, everyone's that. Let me tell you, what did a pastor was here recently, and he said that it's funny to him when people tell him, well, the church is full of hypocrites. He's like, yeah, well, come in and take a seat. We could use one more, right? Like, come on. We all have our own issues. We all have our sin that we battle. None of us are extra special where it's like, we are so bad. But let me go back to what I was talking about with isolation and separation. We convince ourselves that we're worse than others. We convince ourselves that if anybody knew, right, that I did this 20 years ago, if anybody knew I still do this, if anyone knew I had these thoughts, if anyone knew I dabbled in this, I sold this, I post this, insert anything. Let me tell you, those are all attacks of the enemy. It's how he comes in and creates and fans the fire of separation. Because if he can separate you and he can keep you isolated, that is his playground. That is where he can really ramp up with the lies and deceit of you believing certain things about yourself and others, versus when you have community and I'm out a table of people and I'm like, yo, it's crazy because I've been having these thoughts of this, this, and this. And someone's like, let me tell you something right now, right? I'm gonna stop you right there. This is right. They can correct you. They can hold you accountable. They can remind you of God's word when you're not remembering God's word. They can have faith for you when you're not having faith for yourself. They can rebuke the lies that you may be believing, that you're not seeing, you're believing it. Let me tell you, he is a master of lies and deceit. It's not like we're looking at something that's red and he's like, nah, it's blue. Like, it's not that obvious. His lies are not that obvious. They're sneaky. They're snithering. He's a snake, and it's getting me pumped up because I hate it. Like, it breaks my heart the way he comes in and the lies that he allows people to really believe about themselves. And so when we were praying for this girl, she was like, I really just felt like I couldn't trust women. And I really just felt like they wouldn't like me if they got to know me. And I said, those are lies from the pit of hell. And I need you to know that. I need you to understand that. These are things that the enemy has used to keep you separated and keep you alone. She's like, I've been so lonely. And the things that she has gone through on her own, the torment she had gone through, the battles she was battling on her own. And I'm like, this is what we have sisters in Christ for. This is what we have brothers in Christ for. You are not ever supposed to walk through it alone. And yes, we know that our Father walks with us, but he has also blessed us with these brothers and sisters to as well walk with us. And I need somebody to really, like, this is heavy, heavy on my heart for certain people that are listening right now, because you have convinced yourself that life is better this way. You won't get hurt this way. You're protected this way. You can't be rejected this way, because, this is heavy on my heart right now. Someone who has dealt with rejection, deep rejection from childhood. And listen, I had a battle my own. Absolutely. I think we all have experienced rejection in childhood, but it shows up and plays out so differently in all of our lives. And maybe you're still facing rejection now. This is heavy on my heart for somebody right now. Somebody battling rejection, that feeling. And I just want to speak God's truth over it. I want to speak his love over it. I want to break any and all chains and strongholds around rejection that someone may be feeling and battling, because it feels so defeating. That's another word that keeps popping up, is that it's feeling very defeating. And we speak it out in the name of Jesus. Those feelings are heavy. And they can weigh you down. And you could feel so weighed down by them that you feel like you don't even have the energy to get to know anybody else, to involve yourselves in the community, because you're so busy battling yourself. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I need you to know that the lies that you have been believing, I feel like God's coming in like this, like protective father, like not on my watch. Like, I don't know who he's giving me that vision for, but he just gave me that vision. Like, it's just walking through the door like a big protective father, like not on my watch. It's not happening here. And if you're listening, that vision is for somebody right now. And I love him for that he's so protective of us. Do you let God protect you? Because one of the ways he protects us is with his bride, is with his church, is with the community. And let me tell you, they suck sometimes, but tell me, other people don't as well? Your coworkers, your neighborhood people, hometown people, whatever. Tell me those people haven't hurt you as well too. Why do we hold church hurt on such a different pedestal? Because I'll be honest, I did as well. I'm like, but this isn't supposed to happen here. This is my safe space. Yes, it is my safe space, but it's also a space with a lot of broken people. And trying to create a safe space with a lot of broken people, you know, it's a little interesting. But I will take that 10 million times over for what the joy that I get from these same people. When you do life with people, it gets messy. It will always get messy. I have let people down. I have hurt people. I tell people that all the time. I will hurt you. I'll say the wrong thing. I will not be intentional. I'll say the wrong thing. I'll do the wrong thing. I'll let you down. But I'm a human. And so it's not fair for me to think that no one else can do that, right? That no one else can be human here. And so I'm just feeling heavy on my heart for those who have not been in church, who are not involved, who have been out of it for a minute. You need to return to the bride and you need to get involved. I don't know what way that means, if that's just praying for the church, right? You don't like certain things from your church, pray about it. Let me tell you, this summer was a really big lesson in church for me in general, because there were things that I felt like, well, this should have been done this way and this wasn't okay, right? I had some real hurt I was going through. And God definitely had a reckoning with me of, if you're going to stay here, which I did decide to, if you're going to stay here, then you need to surrender to your leadership, to your community, to whatever decisions have been made. Like, that's what we've been called to do. I can't love the church while fight it at the same time. Now, if there are changes I feel that need to be done, let me be the change. Let me lead it. If there are things that I'm like, well, this could be better, let me be a part of doing it better. And I'm speaking to somebody. If you're here and you show up every Sunday and you're criticizing it of like, they don't do this, I like the way they do it over here. And let me tell you, you remember whose bride that is that you're criticizing. You remember whose bride that is that you're talking about. And if you don't like it, do something about it. You be the change. You create the program you want to see. You join the worship team if you want better worship. Like, you can, we have so much power. Yet we'd rather sit back and criticize everyone else who's doing something. Let me tell you, most of the people who criticize it the most aren't even serving. Aren't even doing anything to contribute to this body. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling somebody out. I'm calling several out. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to calm down, okay? Because I want you to keep listening. I say this in love, though. I say this in so much love. I say this as your sister in Christ, who as well wants to see the church get better and healthier. It doesn't get healthier by constantly criticizing it, though. It doesn't get healthier by us, you know, adding to the toxicity of it. I'm sorry. I had to do that. I had to go there. But I really do say that with so much love. And there's more than enough people that have been separated from the church because of things that happen. And it's just, I feel God saying, it's time to come home. Come back to the bride. Come back to the body. It's time to come home. And even with, I want to go to the another point of separation where he was saying thoughts about self. He attacks us with negative thoughts about ourselves to keep us insecure and at odds with our own self. I want you to think about ways, our own insecurities, because I've battled tons of insecurities. Ways our own insecurity keeps us separated from others. Because maybe we're not criticizing the church. Maybe we're not criticizing others. But I want to speak to those criticizing themselves, because you were made in God's image, right? A minute ago, we were talking about those of us who have convinced ourselves like, well, I'm so bad. If anyone knew, if anyone, this is part of criticizing ourselves. We're keeping ourselves separated. I remember the first church when I just became a little baby Christian, okay? I started attending this church with my mom. And I remember I would see all these, like, it was like the pastor's wife and the youth pastor's wives. And then you got all the super servers. And I'm like, they're like, holy, holy, right? They read their Bible every day and don't think bad thoughts about people. And, you know, have never had a sip of alcohol in their lives. And, you know, they're just, holy, holy. I'm not that person. I can't hang out with people like that. So what did God do? He put me in a group with them because he's funny. And so I went to my first women's retreat. It was camp style. And up to that point, again, baby Christian, just started going to church. I was attached to my mother. Like, where she went, I went. Well, now we're at this big camp and we got separated into groups. And her and I were in different groups. And now I'm in this group with the head pastor's wife, the youth pastor's wife, like two or three super servers. And I'm like, what am I about to do here? Like, what are you doing, Lord? And so I was very vocal because at first I wasn't. We were going in a group sharing stories. And they're like, Catherine, you're really quiet. And I'm like, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I don't think I really have anything to contribute here. Like, y'all are holy, holy. And I'm just like, I'm not on that level. I don't really know what to say here. And they all are like looking at each other and they're like, you think we're, wait, who's holy, holy? You think we are? And I'm like, yeah. And so they're now like laughing with each other and whatnot. They're like, girl. And they start telling me all the things of their past life. And let me tell you, I had this person out of wedlock. I had blah, blah, blah. And they're telling me all the things. And I'm just like, and they all took turns, right? Telling me like all the things they'd done, the worst things they'd done. And they look at me, they're like, do you feel better now? I'm like, I do. But it's what I had convinced myself of. I created that narrative. They never were like, hi, I'm holy, holy. No, I created the narrative about them. And you know what that narrative did? It kept me separated from them. Two of them are still close friends of mine. And this all these years ago, I really convinced myself, like, y'all are holy, holy. I'm not on that level. And I just like, there's no way in any world we would ever be in a relationship or even friendship together. The ways the enemy creeps in and allows us to think so little of ourselves, because it was me also thinking like, I'm not good enough. I'm bad. That was a conversation I just had with a friend the other day of this deep belief that she battles of I'm bad. And I related so much to it because I felt that way for so long, right? I'm not good. I'm bad. And if people really got to know me, right, they'll see I'm not as good as I seem. I'm not as good as people think I am. And it goes back to these things we were fed in childhood, these things our parents spoke over us, the words they used, the names they used, these things that have stuck with us subconsciously. And so as adults, yes, we're not that child anymore, but we kind of are, right? We kind of still are because we're still battling those same thoughts. We're still battling that belief system. And that belief system has created false beliefs. There's false beliefs and then there's projected lies. And these things create this identity out of it, out of false beliefs and projected lies. And we've created like, this is who we are. No, no, no. False beliefs, projected lies. And so I need to ask you, what are you believing about yourself that is not even true? That is why God's word is so important. Who does he say you are? Where is your identity? Is it in these beliefs of I'm bad, you're better, if people really knew this and that? Ugh, it bothers me like deeply because there are so many people that have kept themselves from letting others get to know them, letting others get to love them. Letting others get to love them. They won't receive it because there's that belief. No, like you love, like you think you love me. You think I'm great and you think you love this version that I've shown you. No, no, no. Like if they really knew like how bad I was, I seriously would think that for a long time. In a lot of times in romantic relationships, right? When someone falls so quickly for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, why are they falling so quickly for me? They don't even know me, which, yes, true. But also, it'd be like, they think they know me. Oh my gosh, they do not know who I am. Like, they've like super fallen for this like person I've created. How sad, right? For us to think that about ourselves, to believe that about ourselves, to think that somebody caring so deeply or loving us so much, like something must be wrong with them, right? You just don't know. You don't see me for who I am. Because if you saw me for who I am, right? So they don't see me. They think they do. Because God forbid we just be an actually lovable human being. And it's crazy because that's what we all crave so deeply. To be loved. To be seen. To be understood. And I think that absolutely first has to start with God. Because if it doesn't start there, we will search for it everywhere else. Today in the sermon, he had said, I'm using my phone to record this so I don't have my notes on me, but he had said, if you have not put Jesus on the throne, you will use anything else and place it on that throne. So who is on the throne for you? And many times we put our own, we don't look at self-talk and self-loathing as something we put on a throne in place of Jesus when we are believing all these toxic thoughts about ourselves. But when we're choosing our toxic thoughts over what God has said and spoken over us, is that not in a way putting something else on the throne? So this is not to condemn at all. I just want to call attention to it, though. I want to make us more aware. I want you to think about moving forward the thoughts that you're having. And how are you going to counterattack that? Let me tell you, this is battle, baby. Where's your armor? Where's your weapon? And let me tell you, you cannot come show up unarmed. Like, that's where the enemy comes in, swoops in, and goes ham. In Ephesians, go to Ephesians 6, and that's where it breaks down the full armor of God. What are you? Are you armoring yourself with anything right now? Like that's so important, is that you are making sure that you're armed with everything you need to battle and fight when those thoughts try and creep up, when those subconscious beliefs about yourself. That is why it is so important to be rooted in who God says you are. So moving forward, what are you going to counterattack that with? Come up with scriptures. Right? I used to, on my fridge, I have a thing that has my schedule for the week, but I started writing scripture so I could work on letting that be my memory verse for the week. And I change it to whatever it is I'm needing that week, what I'm needing to focus on. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and self-control. For me, first season, it was for fear. Gosh, now it's 2 Timothy. See, that's why I have the memory verse, okay? Because the memory needs the verse. And with this, though, that was something a fear or timidity. That's what it is. But of power, love, and self-control. Because I was needing that reminder. So find a scripture that you're needing for this week or this month where you can just focus on it. Because sometimes it could be overwhelming, right? We're like, okay, great. I'm going to write down all the scriptures I need. We write a whole journal thing and we're like, I'm going to read this every morning and this is going to be my thing. And then we get burned out, right? Because we wrote 72 scriptures and now I'm like, dang, I'm tired. I don't have 30 minutes to do this. Get one. Start with one. Get one scripture, meditate on it, memorize it, let it be your food, right? Your brain food of whenever your thought goes to this, counterattack it with this. There's nothing more powerful to fight with than God's truth and his word. Whew. Okay. I think I'm looking at the time. I got to wrap it up. I just felt it so heavy on my heart to speak to this topic of separation and isolation, because I've been feeling that deeply even when I walk into my church. Listen, look. Whew. Okay, so I'll wrap this up. You could be in the building and still separated. You could be in the building and be like, all right, check. Check that off. I got in the building. Okay. I went to go see his bride. Done. You can be in the building and still separated. Let someone get to know you. You get to know somebody. We were designed for this. It's so important. It's so important. People literally live longer when they have community. Like, this is literal life and death stuff we're talking about. You look at those, what do they call them, blue zone countries where the people live like over 100. What's something they all had in common? They're plugged in. They're not alone and isolated. Step out of your comfort zone, because this could be really uncomfortable for some of you. We're not called to live in our comfort zone. We're not called to live comfortably. I mean, some things I'm like, please let it be a little comfy. That's another story. But what is it costing you by staying in your comfort zone? What is it costing you, literally? Okay, I'm going to wrap it here. This is actually, I don't know if I said this at the beginning of this episode. See, we're working on my memory. But this is the season finale of season 3. Because to be honest, I need a little bit of time to figure out life right now, as far as what my new life looks like, what my schedule looks like, figuring out a routine. Like, everything has been thrown off. I went to Orange Theory this morning for my first time in a week. If y'all know, she gonna be to her Orange Theory no matter what's going on. And the fact that I was not there in a week, like, red flag. And so I'm trying to figure some things out in my life. They're good things, though. Like, I'm grateful to, it's a good problem to have, right? And I'm very, very grateful. But I'm most grateful just that we could share this space together, that we can have this space. I will probably, please make sure you're subscribed to my YouTube, because although I'm going to be off the rest of the year, I do want to hop on, because this feeds me as well. Like, this feeds my spirit, because God pours in so that we can pour out. And for me, this is me just allowing him to be a vessel. And it's such a privilege. It is such a privilege, and a privilege I'm so grateful for. And so please make sure you're subscribed. I still want to connect, because I will say I am very much missing that connection. That's the biggest thing I miss about social media, is connecting with y'all. And if you have sent me any messages, I'm not ignoring you over these last couple months. I just have not been on socials. But I promise I will get back once I'm back. Connect with me on YouTube. It's Connected with Catherine. I'll have the link in the show notes. You guys can always leave comments on Spotify. They have this really cool thing where you can leave comments. I can't reply to them on Spotify, but they can get posted. ConnectedWithCatherine@gmail.com. You can always email me. I genuinely love connecting with you. I genuinely have appreciated this season. When I started this season, I had no idea all the things that were going to unfold, but you were really along for the ride. Like, that's, there are a lot of vulnerable things shared. And I just thank you from the bottom of my heart for creating the space for me, for being here with me. And I'm just so grateful to God and his goodness. He's so good. He's so good. I want to scream it from the mountaintops. I love him so much. He's my best friend in the world. And although it may not feel good at times, he is always good. And even when I was literally sprawled out, living room floor, crying, my little eyes out, starving because I was fasting, crying to God, I just was like, it doesn't feel good, but I know you're good, right? I know you're good. And that's something we never can lose hope in. And if you're needing a reignition of your hope, tap in. Connect to the God of hope. Y'all, okay, I gotta cut myself off because there's a million things I wanna say. I think, especially because I know this is like, I'm like, oh, this is the finale. I'm like, wait, but this, and then also this. Okay, don't forget this. Okay, and also Jesus loves you. Okay. I love y'all. Thank you so, so much. I love you so much. God bless. I will see you next season.
Once again, thank you so much for sharing this space with me. Please don't forget to click subscribe. And if you enjoy what's being created here, I would really appreciate if you could leave a review. But most of all, please stay connected. I absolutely want to hear from you. You could find me on Instagram at connectedwithkatherine. Until next time, stay rooted.